of the Winnipeg service, public service, have not been concurred in and referred to the, sorry, I sent it to the Standing Policy Committee?
Standing Policy Committee.
Yes, the Standing Policy Committee on Property
Property and Development.
Okay. For the motion, any discussion? Do you want to speak to it at this point, Councillor?
Sure, I will speak to it at this point. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out here this evening. It's been a long haul this evening, and up here we feel it as you guys do in the audience. It's also been difficult in that, as being a quasi-judicial body, we haven't been able to talk to you about the issues and express what we're feeling as we're going through this process. Some applicants now take advantage of a pre-hearing application and involve the area councillor. That was not what this applicant did here, and I'm certainly not at all pleased about that that part of it. I do want to recognize everybody who's come out here tonight. I do want to recognize the efforts of everybody that's gone out and advertised this hearing and has gotten it out there. I mean, it is by legislation advertised in the Free Press, but it's or in the newspapers and such, but it's often missed. And I do thank the residents that have, you know, it's clear that there is a strong community here, whether it's the residents of Edgewood Estates, whether it's the people of the surrounding streets like Esser, Appleton, and Wellams Lane, Tamarind, Kildonan Drive. It's clear that there is a strong community in this area. And as your elected councillor, I'll be voting against this, and I listen to you because I represent you.
Order, please.
From what I've heard, this is not a project that fits into the community. When the previous application was withdrawn, at that point I could speak out on it. And I said, I mean, I wanted to see something move forward that was worked with, that where the applicant would work with the community to find something that met the interests and that of the community. The process that they chose to take was not that. And again, so that's why we saw this large number of you out here this evening and not in support of it. I am a resident of this community. I went to John Pritchard School. I would sit in class in the mornings and get that smell of McDonald's wafting in and get that Big Mac attack around 11:30. And I mean, while I would consider myself fairly safe crossing the street, I saw a lot of people who didn't. And you know, safety concerns certainly are an issue for me. In regards to some of the, you know, the technical issues, it's interesting. I mean, you know, whether or not everything has been crossed and whether, or, you know, the traffic, you know, studies are dead on. I mean, it's challenging, but at the end of the day, this just does not seem like a proper fit for the area. It was not done in consultation with the neighborhood, and for those reasons this evening, I will be voting against this proposal.
Okay. Councillor Thomas, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I have some comments that I'd like to make. For one, I'd just like to say that I'm against gated communities in principle, that walls are an illusion of safety and actually provide good cover for muggers and are more unsafe because they remove the eyes and ears from the community. And I think existing traffic problems will be heightened. And I felt there was no plans to ameliorate the impact. Residents' concerns were minimized. And the fact that the developer is going over the city's generous allowance in parking stalls suggests that they know that they're going to have a greater impact on the community than the average development will have here, because the amount of stalls that are recommended for a development that size are just a little over 1,000, and this development suggests they'll have parking stalls of 1,167. So they know there's going to be more than the average amount of traffic going back and forth. I don't think that sticking a bike route down a residential street, which starts out wide enough until you go past John Pritchard, but then quickly narrows, I don't think it's a good place to be putting a bus route down. I have quite a few bus routes in my areas, and they're on collectors. They're on Talbot and London and Kimberley and all the collector streets. They don't, unless they absolutely have to, go down a residential street. And I think it's very odd to go down the end and turn around. It's a very unusual move. One of my really big reasons is the developer was not willing to accommodate plans for a riparian bike path. I'd like to see a gravel path upgraded to an asphalt path. I'd like to see cycling happen even in the evening, well, of course, with people putting proper lights on, and there was no lighting plan for it at all, and it was suggested that the gravel path be removed entirely, and that was inconsistent with the planning that has been happening in that area for over 30 years. Planning to the north has been going down where Kildonan Drive ends. The planning was always to continue it. And I think anybody who moves into an area where they know the long-term plan is to have a bike path and is going to just say, oh, we want to break that up so that it's not happening. I don't think that's a really basic disregard of what the community wants, a really basic disregard. And even if it was nothing else, for that reason alone, there are so many reasons, but for that reason alone, that gets me upset. I happen to be a fan of bike paths. I like to bike, and it really upsets me that long-term plans of over 30 years get destroyed. And last but definitely not least, there was an existing agreement in place for over 34 years that said that there would be no more dwellings on this site than what exists now. And I think people moved into the area, bought houses in the area, and knew what was going to happen in the area because they knew there was agreement, they knew there was going to be a certain density. And suddenly, this density that they expected and felt comfortable with for over 34 years is going to be doubled. And I don't think that's fair to the residents. I also have some concerns that weren't answered. When you build the Chief Pecos Trail and you have people driving down 80 kilometers an hour, that's a speed limit on there, and if there's going to be a significant shadow crossing the road between November the 1st to the end of March, we could have accidents caused by a building being put up because of a significant shadow over a high traffic area, and which was planned to be a rapid access area. And you don't, in our winter city, and we can have snow, and often do from the end of November to the end of March, and we even have it for longer. You know that we can have it start in the middle of October, and we've had major dumps in April. But for those 5 months, it's more likely than not below zero, and sometimes really below zero. And if you have that in shadow, and it never gets a chance to see the sun and never gets a chance to dry out, it could be very dangerous, icy conditions, particularly around Christmas when everybody's rushing everywhere, and it could have a very serious accident. And that question was never comfortably answered to my satisfaction. Also, the other question also having to do with the Chief Pigris Trail. Right now, we have a barrier of trees. There's going to be two problems happening with that building going up. It, where there was soft, absorbing material, trees, 27 of them will be gone, and now we have a hard wall. Since I developed my hearing problems, I am very sensitive to sounds that echo. And it seems to me that we will be turning something that had a soft, gentle area in the able into an echo chamber. And it could annoy all sorts of people who aren't here today who don't even know that this could be a problem. And for those reasons, I also will not be supporting this clause.
Okay. Okay. It's been a long night, so I'm not going to make my comments too long. I'm going to keep it brief. I'm going to also support Councillor Berwati's motion not to approve this tonight. The issue, issue of the gated community really causes me a lot of concern. We haven't had really any gated community in the city. I think we'd be setting a real precedent here tonight to be approving a gated community. Having said that, my mother and father live in one out in East St. Paul, and I hate it. But anyway, so sometimes I forget the code and can't get in. But the gated community concept, I think, is one which is really foreign to our city, our community, and just the entire development. Which, I want to say, maybe as a preamble to Mr. Rankin, Mr. Cron, I know that you gentlemen were doing your job here today, and I appreciate that. I just believe that even the concept and the design of the buildings. You know, they're beautiful, but they're turning inward. They almost turn their back on the entire community. I think the issue, as well as on top of being a gated community, which I think would be a wrong precedent to set as a city, the issue of lack of access to the river. Vancouver, has its mountains. We have our rivers, and we're trying to establish a policy of creating access to our rivers and having paths along our rivers and recreation. And to not get access to, at this point in time, I think is a wrong precedent to set if we start approving developments where we don't get access to a river. Thirdly, the locations of the buildings. I realize that there might only be 3 or 4 homeowners on Tamarind, but the fact of the matter is this has a huge impact on them. It's interesting to see that the development, actually after the first proposal came forward, which was the high tower, that this actually increases the density even more with 2 towers. And I don't really know how to take that, whether the developer is saying, you know what, I'm frustrated, and the owner is saying I'm frustrated, and, you know, whatever the community is going to do anyway, they're going to be against it, so to heck with it, I'll push forward. I'm not too sure if that's part of it, or if it's just a lack of information about the neighborhood. But part of the process here with any kind of new development, the onus is really on the applicant coming forward to show the leadership necessary to bring the community together. Yes, you're not going to get 100% buy-in. You're not going to get everybody on board. But to show that there's a process here, a genuine process of consultation and a process of give and take. And clearly, when an application comes back with even a higher density than what was previously there, that's really the exact opposite of the give and take that you would need. The other part of this that I'm quite concerned about is the parking. I like to see an applicant who knows how many existing parking stalls they can tell us right like that. How many existing parking stalls are for visitors right now, you know? And how many are we going to have new? And what's the net new difference? We didn't hear that today. And finally, I guess I take issue
I really take issue. I know, it's we're Winnipeggers and we're maybe not the biggest city in Canada, and but we're still a great city and a proud city. And if somebody wants to invest in the city, I think we would certainly welcome it. But you know what? Cancel the vacation and come back to this hearing, and have some input. These people are putting their lives on hold to probably be here tonight. The property owner could do the same thing if he really believed in what he's talking about here tonight. And so those are my thoughts. I'll pass the matter back to Councillor Rawati, who's called the, well, I'm going to call the question. He's moved the motion. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Councillor Rawati.
Move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Going over to the subdivision plan, DAS 30 of 2008. I move that the reports of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I move
carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Same supporting reasons?
Same supporting reasons.
Okay.
I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Order, please. Variance.
There's more. There's more.
The variance. We have to...
Moving over to the variance.
Yep. Order, please. GAB. We're still dealing with two more items here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Aye. Yeah. I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that criteria A to D of subsection 2473 of the City of Winnipeg Charter are not satisfied.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Same supporting reasons?
Yep. I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Item number 7.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred and then forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Councillor Rawati moves adjournment to the public hearing.
The public
Councillor
hearing.
Thomas moves that the regular meeting open. Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Aye.
I